Liberty Baptist Church. I thank God for all of you. But before I move on, I just want to pray, because if God is not with us, if God's presence is not felt, if the Holy Spirit does not show up, all our living is in vain. If Jesus' blood has not been shed, if our sins have not been forgiven, if we have not been washed anew, then we are just here as a social club. Because I know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's peace, there's love, there's compassion, there's understanding, there's unity, there's harmony. So let's invite the Lord into his house, because this is his house. This is where he dwells. This is where he comes to abide. The Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. I hope you come with a praying heart this morning. I hope you didn't come to see me, because if you have, you've come for the wrong reason. If you come in this house for any reason other than to praise the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you, who hung on a rugged cross, who shed his sinless blood for you, then you've missed it. It's about Jesus. He was the only one, Jesus. And I need his presence. I need his Holy Spirit to fall fresh, because the Holy Spirit brings conviction. He brings deliverance. He brings healing. He brings all those things that we need. So if you will bow with me, please, as I invite him into this vessel and into this house to have his way in this place. Dear God, our Father, it's in the precious name of Jesus that we come, realizing, Lord, that it's nothing that we've done. We don't deserve it. We could not have earned it. We didn't have enough faith to conjure it up. But Holy Spirit, we invite you into this house. We invite you to have your way, to fall fresh, that you would just rain. Just rain. Have your way, oh God. Have your way. We love you, Lord. We honor you. We bless you. We magnify you. We lift you up today, oh God. We want to be in your very presence. We kneel at the altar. We fall at your feet to worship you, because you're worthy. You're worthy to be praised. Your word has declared, let everything that has breath to praise the Lord. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Giving honor to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. To Pastor Randy and Sister Bev in their absence. To all my co-laborers in the gospel. And to all of you who make up this body. And to someone that's near and dear to my heart, Ms. Adrian. Thank you for your presence with me today. I appreciate that. It's always an honor to come and share the word of God with you, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, who died for us and who woke us up this morning, who started us on our way, who made that old deaf angel behave. And then he touched us with the finger of love and said, arise, my son, arise, my daughter, and go and tell somebody that this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm glad that the Lord woke us up this morning. Is anybody else glad they woke up this morning? Is anybody just want to thank the Lord for another day that he's made, that he's granted, that he's given to us? Because when I look back over my life, God has been good to me. God has been good. We serve a good God. We serve an awesome God. When I look back over my life, The enemy tried to kill me for a long time. I remember being pulled out of a burning house at 4 years old. I remember almost killing my own self by throwing rocks up in the air as a six-year-old child. I used to like to pick up bricks and throw them up in the air. And one day I picked up a real big one and I threw it up in the air and I was looking for it because I didn't see it come down. Well, it found me on the top of my head. And needless to say, I made it to mother. Thank God for my mother. I remember as a seven-year-old child setting the woods on fire that I was in. And I had to run out again. I remember as an 11-year-old child getting hit by a car. I remember almost getting shot at 12. I remember appendix almost bursting inside my body at 17. I remember another car wreck at 21, almost drowned at 23, got shot at 25. But through it all, God has been good to me. I've had some good days and some bad days, but through it all, God done saw me through, and I can say, thank you, Lord. That's why when I say, let everything have breath, praise the Lord, it's personal to me. Because had not it been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? So I just come to testify to his goodness, his mercy, and his grace. But the Lord sent me here with a word for somebody today. And I'm going to give it. If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to the gospel according to Mark, chapter 6, verses 45 through 53. The gospel according to Mark, chapter 6, verses 45 through 53. If y'all would please indulge me by standing for the reading of God's word. I'm a firm believer if we can stand for anything, we ought to be able to stand for God's word. Amen. Now, when I read the King James Version. But today I'm reading the New King James Version. But I'm going to quote various versions because there's one in particular that I want to lift up out of the scriptures that maybe it can help us identify. Why don't we read this together? We're going to start at Mark chapter 6, verse 45, and we're going to read down through verse 53. Let us read. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida. He sent the multitude away, and when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marvel. For they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. And verse 53, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. You may be seated. I want to go back and visit verse 48. I'd like to draw your attention to verse 48. And the King James Version reads like this. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed him by. The NIV says, he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. But I think I like the Amplified the best. The Amplified says, and having seen that they were troubled and tormented in their rowing, for the wind was against them. I'd like to speak from this topic this morning. Hold on, help is on the way. Hold on, because help is on the way. If you are in trouble or tormented today, I came to tell you, hold on, help is on the way. For those of us who are children of God, and forgive me, I'm not trying to be mean or insensitive, but everybody is not a child of God. These might be hard words for some, but they are true. We are not all children of God. We are all created by God, but we are not all his children. Jesus had to tell the same words to some people over in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 44. He says, no, you were of your father, the devil. It is sad but true. Either you are a child of God or you are a child of the devil. There's no in between. Now, you can be in the building, but not in the body. You can come to the house and still not be saved. You know, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 through 30, Jesus spoke a parable about the wheats and the tares. He talked about how the enemy had sowed tares among the wheat. And the servants came to the master and said, should we pull up the tares? And Jesus says, no, let them come up together. But what I will do, when I go to the reapers, I will instruct them at the time of harvest to gather up the tares and bundle them and throw them into the fire, and that the wheat to put into my barn. He also spoke a parable in Matthew chapter 25 about how the sheep and the goats will come up together. And again, he says, don't worry, because at the day of reckoning, he would do the separating between the sheep and the goats. Now, I don't know which one you are today, but he knows. Either you are sheep or you are goat. The sheep will inherit the kingdom, but the goats will be cast into the everlasting fire. So I said that to say what? At the end of this message, if you're not sure whether you are sheep or a goat, you need to find out. Because Jesus is coming. One of these days, he's coming back. And you need to know within your heart, am I just one of those ones going to the building, or am I actually in the body? Am I in the house, or am I truly saved by his grace? You need to know. Time is getting short. As children of God, we have to realize that we are not immune from trouble, adversity, heartache, pain, or the wiles of the enemy. The Lord never promised us that this life would be easy. As a matter of fact, Job said that a man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. The Bible declares to us that the rain will fall on the just and the unjust. James tells us to count it all joy when we fall into divers temptations, for our trials and our troubles, our adversity, knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience and endurance. Don't you know that this race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong? But Jesus said, it is given to those that will endure to the end. This Christian race is not a sprint. This is a marathon. So hold on. Help is on the way. Jesus is coming. Let's examine the text to find out what was going on with these disciples at this time. If you know the story, what had just transpired as Jesus had sent them out at an earlier mission. He sent them out two by two, and they had great success. They went out, and they had great success. They healed the sick. They casted out demons, and they came back with an excellent report. And after having coming back, Jesus said, let's go to a desert place. I guess this would have been a time of refreshing. But somehow the people saw them, and they ran to where they was. And when they got there, this is where Jesus ended up feeding the 5,000 women, 5,000 men, including women and children. And at this point, it was said in the Gospel of John that they wanted to make him the king, the Messiah, right then. So Jesus instructed the disciples to get into the boat and to go on the other side. And we will look at verse 45 and 46. It says, immediately he made the disciples get in the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. It is important that we understand that Jesus instructs the disciples to get into the boat. He constrains them to get into the boat. He made them get into the boat. He insisted that they get into the boat and go to the other side. Regardless of what versions you read, you have to understand that Jesus was the author of this endeavor. It is important that we see this because there are going to be some encounters that we have that we will run into trouble, even though Jesus is the author of the mission. I would like to share this first point with you. You can be in the center of God's will, and hell can still break out in your life. Sin is not always the reason you encounter trouble. The Bible said when you desire to do good, evil is always present. Just because you're saved and you can shout and you can say amen and you can praise the Lord doesn't mean that it's not going to rain sometime. It doesn't mean that you will not encounter some contrary winds and opposing situations. I know God might have told you to start that business and now all hell is breaking loose. God might have told somebody to go back to school and you can't understand why because you can't pass a class. God might have told you to leave a job or to accept a new job. He might have told you to start a new relationship, a new ministry, a new church, whatever it is that he told you, but now all kinds of trouble has broken out in your life. Well, I came to tell you, hold on, help is on the way. Jesus is coming. Maybe you're trying to get on the other side of some medical issues, some financial situations. Jesus is coming. Hold on, help is on the way. Maybe you are like the disciples and you just don't understand. Lord, you sent us out on another mission and we had such great success. But now all of a sudden, we have contrary winds and storms raging in our life. We don't understand what's going on. Lord, I know I heard you, but all trouble is breaking out of my life. Hold on. Help is on the way. You know, I heard somebody say that we serve a God who's right on time. He said he might not come when you want him, but he's right on time. He's never late, but he's seldom early. But he'll be right on time. Look at somebody and let them know, hold on, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. He knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. He knows about your situation. Just by looking, I can't see, but I know he knows. You know how I know he knows? Let's look at the text. The text tells us that he knows what you're going through. Verse 47 and 48 says, now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and Jesus was alone on the land, and he saw them. Jesus saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. The Bible tells us that the Lord's eyes are everywhere. He beholds the good and the evil. He knows. He said, we serve a God that he never sleeps, nor does he slumbers. He knows what you're going through. He knows about your situation. He knows that we're finna go into the holiday season. And for most of us, the holidays are associated with good times, with shopping, with eating, with laughing, with playing, with seeing family members. And the holidays are associated with everything that is good. But for others, the holidays bring stress because I have more bills than bucks. They don't have family. They experience loneliness. They can fake it during most of the year, but around holidays, they find themselves struggling. You don't know why I'm at the church every time the doors are open. You don't see me crying at night. You don't know the pressures that I'm under. You don't see those depressed days. You can't see my aching body. You don't see me worrying, trying to figure out how I'm gonna buy gifts for my children when I don't have a job. You don't see those things that I might have to make a decision. In order for my kids to have a Christmas, I might have to get behind in my rent. You don't know the reasons that I'm at the church every time the door is open, because I don't have anybody to spend the holidays with. You don't know. But if this is you, the Lord tell me to tell you, hold on. Help is on the way. Your weeping may endure for a night. Oh, but joy is going to come in the morning. Hold on. I know somebody's at the brink of a nervous breakdown. You might feel bad, even to the point where you might want to hurt yourself, because the wind is blowing, the waters is raging, the storm has come up against you. And he told me to take this mission, but for whatever reason, I don't understand, Lord. I love you, Lord. I serve you, Lord. But all hell is breaking out in my life. What am I to do? Hold on. That's what you do. Jesus is coming. He's coming. I know he's coming because he promised us he's coming. Stand on his promises. Stand on his word. If the Lord sent you to it, the Lord will see you through it. Don't you know that you're more than a conqueror through him that loved you? Don't you know that you overcome the wicked one by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony? Don't you know that no weapon formed against you gonna prosper? That goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life? So hold on. Help is on the way. Jesus is coming. Hold on. Job said, all my appointed days, I'm gonna wait till my change comes. The psalmist says, I once was young, but now I'm old. But never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Hold on. Help is on the way. Isaiah said that they that wait upon the Lord, that he will renew your strength. You will mount up with wings like eagles, that you will run and not get weary. You'll walk and not faint. Hold on. Jesus is coming. Now, if you think about it, for some, this Jesus coming is going to be a good thing. It's going to be good when he comes. Because when he comes, we will forever be with him. It's going to be all glory and hallelujah when he comes. But if you don't know the Lord, when he comes, it's not going to be good for you. It's not going to be good for you if you don't know him. If you have not accepted him, you don't want him to come. Because the Bible says it's going to be gnashing of teeth. It's going to be, get away from me, you workers of iniquity. Hold on. He's coming. I know that for some of us, like these disciples, we're in the boat. We're following the master's instructions. We're going to the other side. But now, in the course of us going, now we've encountered all this trouble. But don't give up on his word. He said you will make it. Stand on his word. Stand on his promise. You might be weak right now, but hold on. You might be sick right now, but hold on. You might be broke right now, but hold on. You can make it if you yet hold on, because Jesus is coming. I believe it in all my heart. I've been in those weary days, in those lonely nights. I've been where your very family has turned their back on you. I've been there. I've experienced it. But you know what? God said, I'll be right there with you. He promised you. He'll be there with you. Stand on his promise. Stand on his word. And if you look at the Gospel of Matthew 14, the same scenario, when Jesus comes to them, it said he comes to them on the fourth watch of the night. Now, in early century, the watches wasn't three-hour watches. When you got to the night, from 6 to 9 p.m. was the first watch. From 9 to 12 was the second watch. From 12 to 3 was the third watch. From 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. was the fourth watch. Now imagine, Jesus sends you out into the boat, and he watches you toil and struggle all night long. He watched you from 6 to 9, and they struggled. I believe they set out with a sail, but some form of fashion, the sail wasn't working for him no more, so I had to get to the oars. And I can just see him. Can you see him out there in that water? And the wind just blowing against them, but they never gave up. They kept trying to get to the other side. Jesus watches them from 6 to 9, and they're rowing. He watched them from 9 to 12, and they're rowing. He watched them from 12 to 3, and they're rowing. And just at the point when you're exhausted, and you're tired, and you're about to give up, and they looked up, and here comes Jesus. Walking on the water, the very thing that caused you all your heartache and your pain and your grief, Jesus is walking on it. The storm's been raging in your life. The wind's blowing in your life. And here comes Jesus. Oh, what a sight. Here comes the master. Thank you, Lord, for coming to the rescue. Some of y'all got to be like Peter and cry out, Lord, help me, Lord. He'll come to you. I dare you to call on him in the midst of your trouble. I dare you to call on him. He'll come to you, and when you look up and see him, it said, and he got into the boat. But before that, and y'all know old Peter, if you look at Matthew's version, you know how Peter is. Peter saw him coming. Peter said, Lord, if it's really you, bid me to come to you. Jesus said, come. And Peter stepped out the boat. Hey, look at Peter walking, y'all. Peter's walking on the water. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, Peter walked on the water. Peter made his mistake when he took his eyes off Jesus, and he started to sing. If you're going to make it in this world, keep your eyes on Jesus. Stay focused on Jesus. Jesus is going to honor his word. Jesus is going to allow you to walk on top of your situation. He's going to allow you to walk on top of your struggles. He's going to allow you to walk on top of your loneliness, on top of your sickness, on top of your brokenness. He'll give you the power just to keep on walking, keep on looking, stay looking straight. Jesus can do it for you. He's coming. He's coming. And I'm going to leave you with this. This picture of these men in this boat is a representation of the early church. These men was the church in the boat that God sent them to get to the other side. Listen, church, we've got some opposition ahead of us. We've got a lot of things that is contrary to what we believe. But we have to stand on God's word. We cannot compromise. God did not call us to come in here every Sunday and then go back home. We got to get out there and encounter the world. We got to let them know that we serve a Lord who is more than enough. We serve a God that is able to do abundantly what we ask or think. We have to go out there and let the world know that he lives. And because he lives inside of me, I can take on tomorrow. I don't have to worry about it. Hold on. Jesus is coming. And in the end, we win. In the end, we're going to get to the other side. Because when Jesus is in your boat, the wind ceases, the storm stops raging. Life takes on another meaning when Jesus is in the boat. Don't matter how rough the waves are. Don't matter how strong the winds are blowing. If Jesus is in the boat, you'll make it to the other side. Anybody want to go to the other side? Anybody want to be where Jesus is? You got to make up your mind today. You got to make up your mind today whether you're going to be where Jesus is. You got to turn from your sins. And you got to turn to Jesus. Stop trying to do it on your own. You can't make it. They couldn't make it on their own. No matter how much you try. I know you think you got it because you've been doing it a long time. But one of these days, Jesus is coming. Turn away from your sins and turn to Jesus. Turn it over to the Master. I didn't say you won't see some lonely nights, but you don't have to be lonely. Because he's with you. I didn't say you was going to have money, but you will have riches beyond belief. I didn't say the storms will stop completely, but he'll give you a peace that the world can't understand. Trust in Jesus today. Turn away from your sin and turn to Jesus, because he's coming back. He promised them. Right now, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you might be also. He says, in my Father's house, there's many mansions. And Tony always says she's going to have a big house. And she's looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to his return. What about you? Are you looking forward to his return? Are you sure? Because if you're not, you got to turn away from your sins and you got to turn to Jesus. Right now, like I started out this message, you got to know if you're a sheep or you're a goat. Are you a tear or are you a wheat? If you're not sure, I extend Christ to you today. You can know without a shadow of a doubt that if he comes back in 2 minutes, you'll be forever with him. Do you know in your heart that you're saved today? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? You need to do it right now if you don't. With everyone standing all over the room, can you stand? Stand with us, please. If you don't know the Lord today, I'm asking you, come now. Come accept the Lord into your heart. Come now while the blood is running warm in your body. Come now. He's waiting for you. He's died for you. He is preparing a place for you. But you have to make a decision. I can't get you in. Mama can't get you in. Grandmother can't get you in. Daddy can't get you in. Pastor Randy can't get you in. None of these people up here, though we love you to death, we can't get you in. There's only one person who can get you in. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you come? If you don't know him and the partner of your sins, you need to come now. You know, I used to hear the old minister say, Israel will not lose their reward. Jacob will not lose his reward if Israel refuses to obey. Do you know it? Are you ready? I'm looking at all your faces. Are you ready? Because if you're ready, then I'll see you on the other side. Because Jesus is coming. If you've got got it right, then pray for others. Pastor Randy, like to say, close your eyes and let's pray for somebody else. If the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, he said, a day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Don't harden your heart. If you're not sure, come now. If you're not sure, come now. We have counselors here. Maybe you are sure. Maybe the Lord is leading you to join this church and partner up with us. Come now. Maybe you just want to come to the altar and pray and talk to the Lord about some of those situations that I told you about. You come now. You have people here to talk to you about it. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you now for what you've done, Lord. We thank you for the word that has went forth. Lord, we trust and believe that everyone here has made it right with you. We love you. We honor you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.